As you know, we've had a long week, but it's been a good week. I wanted you to hear maybe a few of the stories, a few of the experiences that we've had this morning. Then we're going to share together a little bit from God's Word. But when I didn't go on the very first trip from our church, and when those folks came back, they said the road was rough. And the driving's crazy, and I thought, okay, well, that kind of means, you know, like North Reagan's been the last couple of months. But no, when they say the road is rough, they mean there ain't no road. And when they say the driving's crazy, it's scary. When you're on paved road, there are no traffic laws. And when you're going up the mountain, there is no road really to drive on. It's just pothole after pothole, and it's just dirt and rocks, and it's crazy. It's pretty scary, really. And I didn't really get that as they were telling the stories, and I didn't really get the difference between the mountain and where the hotel was and all that. Let me see if I can clear that up maybe for some of us just real quick. It's not that different from country living and city living. In the city, that's Gracias. That's where the hotel is. The roads aren't paved, but there are roads. And there are little stores you can buy stuff. You can get your groceries. So that's where we stay at night. But then during the day, you go to the country. And for them, the country is up the mountain. And at the very top of the mountain, San Pedrito, where Pastor Trini lives, you come down about two-thirds of the mountain, maybe? You think about two-thirds of the mountain is St. Elena. That's where our church is. That's where we have connected with those folks there in St. Elena. You go on down the rest of the third of the way to the river, And that's their Home Depot. I say that because when they make concrete, they don't go to the Home Depot and buy a bag of concrete. They go down to the bottom of the mountain, to the river, and they dig up the sand out of the river, and they put it in a bag, and they walk it along the cliff, and they empty it out into a pile, and then they put it into another bag, and put that bag on a horse, and go up and come back and get some more. So you got kind of three levels. San Pedrito is up here at the top. Then Santa Elena's about a little over midway. And then the river's at the bottom. Now, when I went, they lied to me. They told me the only way to get to Santa Elena was to start out at San Pedrito at the top. You had to go all the way down the mountain. And then when you're done, the bad part is you had to go all the way back up to the top. Somewhere between the time I went and this trip, they found a shortcut. Oh, we never knew there was that way. The shortcut goes from Santa Elena, a little over halfway down the mountain, over to what might be considered a road that goes up to San Pedrito. So, this week, I did the shortcut back and forth to Santa Elena. Many of us did. But there were about half a dozen people who couldn't do that because the only place to park the trucks is at the top, at San Pedrito. And so our drivers, every day, every time we went out, had to go to the very top, hike all the way down, help us work all day, and then hike all the way back up to the top. We had a lot of good people do a lot of good work this week, but I got to tell you, our drivers were my heroes this week. And I appreciate you guys so much. Daryl Miller was one of those drivers, and I've asked him to come and, he kind of volunteered and I kind of twisted a little bit. But Daryl's going to come and share a little bit of his experience. Daryl, thank you for doing this for us.
Good morning, y'all. It's nice to hear somebody speak that you can understand. You would think as many trips I've been on, I'd learned a little Spanish other than hola. It's hello. Before I start, though, I want to say thank you, because most of y'all made the trip possible. You either prayed for us or you gave us money. You just thought about us while we were gone. And it means a lot. And on a personal level, this week was real emotional for me. And y'all prayed for me. But I want to share some stuff. It seemed like as soon as we got back last year, something started happening. We had such a good time. We started planning a new trip. And things kept getting in the way. People got sick. People decided not to go. People started wanting to go. It seemed like as it got closer and closer, more and more things started happening. I lost my passport about 6 weeks ago. Didn't think I was going to get to go. We had people's family pass away that we thought might keep us from going. But then we get on the bus and we get to Buffalo. Man, we made a long ways. Bus kills out. Church comes to our rescue, took our kids, let us play in the gym, took us the rest of the way to Houston. Awesome flat. I don't know if the devil gave up trying to run the trip then or not, but it worked. It is amazing. We got to go to church. I got to see two brothers working together. I got to see moms take their kids to church. I got to see moms take their kids to home visits. I got to see dads walk alongside their sons and teach them stuff. Pray with them. Did you notice I didn't say Americans and I didn't say Hondurans? There are two sets of brothers working on that church. There are two moms with their kids there. There are a whole bunch of dads with their sons. Here, we got to talking, if you don't know something, you can pull your phone out and you can Google it. They built a church by memory. I can't even remember what I did last week sometimes. I'm not sure what was supposed to be happening, but I know looking back, God was in control of it. We had church service three times this week. The first time we actually got into the church, the school that is close there, and people were as full as you could get and hanging out the door. The second time we had church, the owner had church with at the school. The owner that owns that house, it was locked, so we had church out on the porch. But, you know, looking at that crowd, we're thinking about how big the new church is. They started sitting up benches, and we got to laying it out, and it's like, man, it's going to almost look empty. There's enough seats for everybody that came, and, you know, we took up part of it. There's 24, 25 of us down there. If I remember correctly, we had 80 cups when we did the Lord's Supper. People had to share the cup because there weren't enough cups. There were probably 25 or 30 kids that didn't partake in the Lord's Supper, which by the first time was the first time ever in Santa Elena the Lord's Supper was shared. It was the first time ever to have church service in that church. Already being emotional, you get two preachers that came a very long ways. One that's been walking into that village for 5 years, preaching those people, loving on those people, meets another preacher that came from a long ways away. There was nothing but Christians in that church that night. The language barrier was broke by love. I don't know what all was said, and I don't know what all was done. Don't know how many lives were touched, but I know there's at least 25 or 26 that were changed forever. And anybody you talk to that's been past or present will tell you part of them is still down there. And they brought somebody home with them. So once again, I want to thank you for whatever part you had in it, whether it was praying, money. Because, I mean, there's people here that need our help. We don't have to go that far. I probably am not going to get it right the way Shannon explained it. But in the Bible where it says, go forth and preach to the nations, he did a little research, and if I'm correct, it was somewhere along the range of two other races. The Hondurans are like us. They consider themselves white. They consider us Christian. They just have a different way of life. But they share every bit of it openly and lovingly. If we could do half of what they do with as little as they have, we'd be unstoppable. So thank you again. Thank you for letting me talk. And thank you even more for the prayers.
In his humility, Daryl didn't specifically tell you that he lost his dad the week before we left. And what a tremendous sacrifice. Already hurting, already grieving, already weak. And yet he made the journey. Shannon Hopkins, as you know, is the missionary there. Shannon's missionary, what would we call it? It's a group, the 501c3, that is 61 Isaiah Ministries. 61 Isaiah Ministries has a slogan, a motto: come walk with us. And the point is, the way they do missions is relationships. Over there, in order to get from point A to point B, you walk. And he says, come walk with us. That's come live life together. And Daryl had every reason to say, I can't go this year. And yet, he felt called of God. And he came and he walked with us. Shared life with us and shared life with them. And we're grateful. You know, when we get there, there's a lot of work. I mean, this time we were helping to finish the church. So some were digging ditches and some were pounding down the floor, the dirt floor in that little church. And some were digging sand out of the river and carting it back and forth. And others were making home visits. Now, home visits doesn't mean you get the day off, because to get from this home to this home, you got to hike over those rocks and hills, and it's work. And everyone worked hard and did a great job. It was very meaningful. One of the guys that went with us started at a deficit, you might say. Had just a little bit of a challenge. Because in order to do all that work, it really helps if you have both arms. Caleb Vincent went with one arm, kind of out of service. And yet he kept with us. He kept working. He kept sharing the love of Christ. And we appreciate him. Caleb, come and share with us your experience.
So like John said earlier, I did go one-armed. And I did not do everything that they did. I did not go down the mountain and pound concrete and stuff. So I got to stay up and home visits and stuff. And there, I want to talk about this one house we went to up in San Pedrito. And we walked in, and the lady had four kids. And she was very nice to begin with. She was very nice to end with. She let us in her home. She taught most of us how to make tortillas. Not all of us can make tortillas, especially me. And so we played with the kids, we made tortillas, and it was just a great experience to walk around with them and listen to what they had to say about their family, about their crops and everything. And probably the scariest moment was the roads. Those are not roads here. They don't have lines. They're not paved or anything. You were lucky not to hit your head on the roof. And even with the seatbelt, I mean, it's scary. Motorcycles flying down the mountain, I mean, I'd flip. I can barely keep my arm in socket as it is. And so, yes. When we did go down to Santa Elena, there was also one family that we went to that she was quiet. There was two ladies at the house at the time. One didn't want to talk to us at all, and the other, she was very open with us. She told us her story. She told us her relationship with Christ, and we just listened, and she started bawling, crying. And I thought that was pretty amazing that she was able to open up and listen, and we let us listen to her story. And so yeah. On Wednesday, we had an off day, and those parades are crazy. They have fireworks shooting out of the middle of the road. I did not want to be anywhere near them. They didn't throw candy like we did. They didn't have the big floats and stuff. They didn't have the cheerleaders riding on the fire trucks, and they didn't have any of that. But they did have, I'm pretty sure they had better parades than we do, though. They didn't have all the expensive stuff that we put in our parades, but they did. They used what they had, and they had a really great parade. So yeah.
Thank you, Caleb. We appreciate that. The parades were cool because they told their history, their story. As you watch different ones come by, they represented different phases in their history. And it really was very, very cultural, very exciting experience for us. Somebody mentioned that we got to worship three times this week while we were there. And that's rare for us, but it's really not for this little village. They meet on a regular basis. They'll meet three times within a week for church. They've been meeting in Carmen's house for a while, and then now recently they've been meeting in the school there because there just wasn't a place to meet. And what a joy, what a privilege that we got to be a part of the very first worship service ever held within a church building in this little village. And you know, folks have been living there a very long time. And the first time that they have church inside a church, we got to be a part of it. It really was a special time of worship all three times. And they would sing some songs for a while and didn't have a clue what they were saying, but we were clapping along with them, you know. And then they'd say, now we want our friends from North America to come. And we want y'all to sing your song. And so everybody in the crowd would all of a sudden look at Jared and say, Jared, do your thing. You know, we didn't know what to do. And sure enough, Jared stepped up each time and led us. And even on the last time we were together, he figured out how to sing one of our songs in their language and did a wonderful job. Jared Whitworth, coming. Where are you? Coming to share with us a little bit of your experience, please, sir.
First off, I'd like to say that 5 minutes is not long enough to tell you how God moved and the experiences that we had in Honduras. It's just not long enough. So I'll be talking for about 35 minutes today. Yeah? No, I'm just kidding. But being in Honduras, it was really eye-opening. Even though they don't speak the same language as us, they definitely don't eat the same food as us or use the same type of bathrooms or hot water heaters. There wasn't really a barrier. We were able to still communicate effectively, and and share how God's moved in our lives, and they were able to share how God has moved in their lives. Just the way that they were so content with how little they had. Like, on average, the people in those villages make about $7 US a day. And they're like some of the happiest people you'll ever meet. You know, I'm here and I'm like, oh, my paycheck was only $200? Oh my gosh, I can't go out to eat tomorrow. And over there, they're just happy to get anything. So I got to do a little bit of everything, you know, carrying the 150-pound bags of sand on some sketchy, slippery rocks. You know, John was carrying some too, and I was thinking, I hope Todd has some sermons prepared for the next couple weeks, because he's about to fall in the river and bust it. It was scary. But it was really interesting to see how they do things over there, and probably my favorite part was being in fellowship with the guys down at the river, because we were talking to the guy Miguel, one of the pastors in training down there, and he kind of shared a little bit with me about his story, which was really awesome. And then he made fun of me because I told him I was strong, and he pointed out my biceps and started laughing. Then he filled every sandbag all the way to the top, so he showed me. But anyway, hearing his story, and then we heard stories. Two days I did home visits. The first day we heard a story of a lady, or second day I did home visits, we heard a story of a lady who had been like instantly healed twice when she was going to college in San Pedro Sula, and she didn't think she was going to be able to make it through, and she was healed twice. She came back to the village, and they prayed over her, something along those lines, and she was like healed instantly and walked back and got a ride back to San Pedro Sula. Then we heard a story of a guy who had been on drugs and an alcoholic and lost his family, but came to know God. He's progressively working back to get in contact with his children and start a new family in the village. And it's just amazing to see, hear their stories and how they've come to know God. And then me and Caleb also got to share our stories with a few people, or with one guy. And it was just awesome. Dude was kind of teary-eyed, which made me kind of teary-eyed, and it was cool. But like John said, we were part of the first worship service in their church that they've been working on. And a lot of times, you know, mission groups have a tendency to either send money or just go down there and build something for them. Scripture tells us in 1 John 3:18, I believe it's 18, that we're not supposed to show love with words and with tongue, but with our actions. And then Galatians 6:10 says that while we have the opportunity, we're supposed to do good to others. We only have a short period of time on this earth to do good to others. So we got the chance to go down there and work with these people and help them build their church and do whatever they wanted us to do. We didn't do it our way. We were there to work for them, and that was a crazy concept for them because they're used to people just coming down there and bossing them around, basically, which was awesome. Not that they got bossed around, but that we got to work for them. And then came the last night with the church service where we did the Lord's Supper. And like Daryl said, we ran out of grape juice. We had to share, which was awesome. It was like, that got me. That got me really good. Just to see, I mean, that little church was packed. There's people standing outside. It was so packed, which was just awesome. And then we sang How Great Is Our God a few times throughout the week. And a little bit each night, I would get my phone out and use the little tiny bit of data that I paid for when I was over there and read over the lyrics of How Great Is Our God. I had no idea exactly what I was singing, but I knew that it meant How Great Is Our God. And those people didn't know the song, but as I was singing those lyrics in Spanish, kind of backed off for a second, and I could hear them singing also. I could hear it in Spanish. I could hear it in English. And I could hear people just, like, mumbling, which there was three different languages going on. There was mumbling, English, and Spanish. And it was awesome. There's God is greater than language barriers. He was moving so powerfully this week. And I messed up some of the words. I did. you know. But the message got across. Cuán grande es Dios. How great is our God. He's the name above all names. And those people get it, and they know it. And we got to be a part of the founding of their church. And I know I'm probably about 5 minutes, so I'm going to stop talking now. But thank you guys for letting me share.
Thank you, Jared. That evening that we shared with our Honduran brothers and sisters in dedicating their church, we looked at Psalm 122 at verse 1. It says, I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And before we go this morning, I want us to think just for a couple of minutes about those words. I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. One of the things that strikes us every time we go to Honduras is the joy of the people there. The first time I went, when we pray and they don't, when they have prayer, it's not one person praying and everybody else listening. Everybody prays out loud all at once. I'm just glad God's big enough to hear it all, because it confuses me. And I'm listening as everybody's praying, and over they're saying, gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor. And I'm thinking, what do you have to be thankful for? They have so little, and yet they have so much joy. And it made me wonder, how many times in my life have I said or heard, it's Sunday again, we got to go to church. Let me tell you something I've learned about worship. Worship begins before you arrive. One of the most important elements of worship, more important than music, more important than reading, more important than preaching, a whole lot more important than pads on the pews or air-conditioned air, one of the most important elements in worship is preparation. So that you get up in the morning and you say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And on your way to church, you're saying, Lord, prepare my heart. Lord, I know I walked away this week. Bring me home so I can worship you. And as you walk in the door, you say, open my mind, Lord. Don't let me be closed-minded when you speak to me. Open my ears and my eyes. I want to worship you and experience you. And then when you come in here, you're not sitting back waiting for someone on a stage to either entertain you or to force you into a position of worship. That's not their job. You walk in the room already worshiping, and then the leaders are leading us so that we worship in the same way, but worship begins before you walk in the door. That's when you're able to say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to church. But notice what else it said. I rejoiced when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You see, it said, let us go. Worship is a corporate experience. That's why David was able to say, I was glad when they said, let's us get together, let's us go. There's a body of Christ. There's a family of God. There's a corporate experience. You say, well, I worship God out on the river when I'm fishing. That's fine. I can worship God standing under a tree. I'm proud of you. That's great. So can every other created being. But that's like saying, since I drink water, I don't have to eat food. They're two different experiences. Yes, you can worship alone. That's because how great He is, not how good you are, by the way. You can worship alone, but we're called to worship as a body. You're missing an important part of worshiping Him unless we worship as a body, as a family. Our God is so great, He deserves our worship. One of the groups got to go and see. You've heard us through the years talk about the sisters to older ladies who live in San Pedrito. One of our group got to go and visit one of the sisters. She's been through a lot, been ill, been struggling, can't see well without the right kind of glasses. And she brought out her Bible and read to them Psalm 144. And I want to encourage you, here's your homework today. Go home and read Psalm 144. And think of someone who has been through a what we would consider a terrible life, choosing that psalm to share with North Americans. I want to encourage you, look at Psalm 144. The first part of it talks about God is my fortress. He is my rock. He is my strength. He is my shield. Now, if I've got a God that good, surely he's worthy of my worship, right? My God is so big, so great, so marvelous, so wonderful. How great is our God? He is worthy of our praise together. And so the psalmist said, I rejoice when they said to me, let us go so we could worship together because he deserves it. He also said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Remember, that's what this place is about. This is the house of the Lord. Now, that's not to say he lives here, really. Isaiah 66, God says, the heavens, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Who could build a house to hold me? We know we don't confine him in these four walls. But this is where, by his grace, in his mercy, because of his love, he has chosen to meet us. That's what makes this his house. I want to encourage you, each Sunday, come prepared, ready to worship, so you can say, I was glad when they said it's 10:15, time to worship. And I want to encourage you, join us as family. Be a part of the body of Christ. Let us go to the house of the Lord. And when you get here, remember, this is not a country club and you're not here to be entertained. This is a holy place of worship, and our mighty God has chosen to meet us here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for the privilege, the joy, the opportunity to serve you, even when it's hard. Thank you for letting us serve you by serving one another. Thank you for loving us enough to meet us, to walk with us. Even when we walk through that dark valley, we can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank you for being that kind of God. And Lord, as we reminded this morning of what a great God you are and how much you love us, help us respond to that love. Even now, we ask in Jesus' name.